at bay. Why would I do that? Joe questioned the being incredulously. I have no idea if that would unleash the storm of creatures you seem to fear as much as you love to torment. The warden shook his head.
If they are not out right now, it is because they can't get out. If I am gone, that ritual will remain in place. I am the mind. That is the body. It generates mana, stamina, health. If you will not take my place, slay me.
Is that why you are here? The only reason? Joe prodded the specter. Or is there something else that will happen to the area with your demise?
The reason I am here is because of all the truly evil prisoners I put behind bars, the warden spat furiously. I devoted my career to ensuring that only the guilty were punished, and what thanks did I get? A dagger in the dark and a permanent posting.
Why does this sound familiar? Joe muttered, deep in thought. How did you ensure that only the guilty were punished? What were you before you were this?
I was the best investigator in this entire world. I created a spell, Dark Compulsion, which severely punished lies. Spells like Compel Truth can be worked around. Their gentle methods easy for the experienced to ignore. Some nobles got scared as I closed in on their illegal trade, and the next thing I knew, I was free of my body and darkness was pouring off of me. My status as the Sage of Darkness, Sage Nocturnal, forcibly changed my race upon death.
The warden spoke bitterly, his story obviously something that still caused him great pain.
Do you have a copy of this spell? Joe bluntly verbalized.
It's yours, as soon as you agree to kill me, the warden shot back with a hollow tone.
All of the black mist he generated was constantly being pulled into the ritual circle, so Joe was able to see the damaged body that lay beneath. He shuddered to think that this could have been his future. Quest updated. Seeker of Truth. An influential investigator met an untimely end due to his relentless pursuit of criminals. You have found him, but in return for his knowledge, he demands that you end his torment.
I will,
Joe promised, staring into the withered orbs this creature had for eyes.
Excellent, the specter chuckled softly. There is a spell book detailing the spell's creation in the treasure room on the bookshelf. That will teach you everything you want to know about it.
Joe moved his hand in a very slow slap across his own face.
Oh, you sneaky thing.
A deal is a deal. Are you ready?
For decades, the specter stated softly. I pursued immortality, but now I know it is not for me. Perhaps it will work out for you, though.
I can only hope.
Mana billowed from Joe, wrapping around the specter and collecting the darkness into a pillar around it. He took a moment to form the interior of the pillar into a variety of damaging spells, then solidified it with all the mana that he could possibly use over the course of 30 seconds.
1,000 mana invested. Overkill? Seriously, he had 10 health after being out of that ritual for so long. You have slain a sage. The world at large weeps for the loss of a great pillar of knowledge, but one person, somewhere, begins to laugh. The benefit for the highest skill level in dark magic has been transferred. Experience gained. 8,000.
16,000 times 0.5 times Spectral Sage of Darkness times 1.
You have reached character level 11. Please note that your class level has not changed.
Gah! I should have come back when I wasn't a prisoner!
Joe dropped to his knees and pounded on the floor.
Half freaking experience gained! No titles, nothing else? Seriously? This cursed dungeon!
He stood and went to the wall where the other members of his party had been pinned, but the days of inattention had proven fatal to all of them. After taking a few calming breaths, Joe turned and looked at the Spectre's corpse. Walking over, he reached out to move the body just as it fell to ashes, leaving behind a few items. After holding the items and doing his best to inspect them, Joe sat down and had to chuckle.
Item gained. Robe of liquid darkness. Rare. Wearing this robe makes you look a bit wet, but increases the power of dark affinity magic by 10%. Could use a wash, as it hasn't had one in era years. Item gained. Spatial codpiece. Legendary. This functional piece of armor also serves a greater purpose. It is able to store 30 cubic meters worth of items. Goods must come within 2 inches of the armor to be stored, but can be retrieved directly onto the body or into the hand as long as the codpiece is touching your skin. Adds 5 points to overall armor class and prevents blows from damaging your genitals entirely. Let's just say your junk is safely stored. Item gained. Condensed ectoplasm. Rare. ×10. This is a thicker, more potent version of ectoplasm.
Still laughing, Joe cast and channeled cleanse on the black leather codpiece, surrounding it in a bubble of dark water as he scoured the surface with tiny particles of solidified darkness. After 5 minutes, and one final panic washing, he equipped the item. It was a strange feeling, to say the least. He stored the robe, unsure if his method of washing it would damage the fabric. Then Joe walked into the treasure room. It took a while, but he emptied the place out entirely. If anyone else would have been able to see him, they would have been very concerned. Joe walked around, thrusting his hips at things like Elvis. Those things then vanished. Not a super pretty mental image to have stored away.
Quest updated. Seeker of Truth. You have found a spellbook detailing the methods used by the investigator of old. Return it to Boris to complete this quest.
Right next to the spellbook was a small and obviously aged ritual manual. Joe opened it, reading through it and nodding as he did so. Simple. It was such a simple ritual. He couldn't believe that he didn't think of it himself, but he was sure that he would have eventually. Just like that, Joe had learned the secrets of making spells into rituals. He felt validated in his choices and intelligent decisions. One of the most important components of this ritual was a spell scroll for the spell you wanted to convert to a ritual. It was like something had been guiding him along this path. His eyes narrowed as he thought back on his conversations with Tatum. Now a few things he had suggested were making sense. Tricky, tricky deity. Tatum had probably been trying to get around whatever rules he needed to follow, but was unable to tell Joe to pursue scroll making directly. With the treasure room emptied, Joe looked around for an exit. First, he triple-checked that the boiling pool of darkness wasn't going anywhere. Then he stepped into the small room adjacent to what he assumed was the warden's very old office. Not finding anything worth looting in here, Joe was about to leave when he noticed that there was a familiar pattern on the floor in the corner. Stepping on it, he jumped lightly, vanishing with a clap of displaced air. Chapter 42.
I recognize this place, Joe muttered as he looked around a room that would be filled with impenetrable darkness for anyone else. This is where they took me when we first entered the dungeon. So the exit should be right over there.
Going the opposite direction, Joe soon found himself walking up to the gates of the fortification. He knocked on the wooden defense, and the door opened to show some very irritated royal guards.
Prisoner! Why are you on the wrong side of the gates?
I cleared the dungeon, and it deposited me near the exit, Joe explained succinctly, causing a few of the guards to appear concerned, and the prisoners to perk up. Since I am here willingly, I figured I should come back in here.
Likely for the best, yes, the guard admitted reluctantly. We have never had anyone escape before, and it would have sullied our reputation instantly and irrevocably. Thank you.
Feat of honor complete. 1,100, 2,200 times 0.5, reputation gained with Ardania Royal Guard. New reputation rank, reluctantly friendly. The guard gestured to a building.
We have been waiting for you, actually. The warden has been asking for you.
The warden is all... Joe cut his panicked reply off. Oh, right. The warden. That warden.
Ha! Yeah, let's go.
A few minutes of walking and waiting later, Joe stood once again in front of the warden of the prison.
I see you have returned. Empty-handed as well, though you were gone for days and claimed to have cleared the dungeon. Not that I would believe an inmate either way, but do try to make your lies believable.
The warden stopped, obviously trying to bait Joe into discussing his recent exploits. Joe certainly wasn't going to fall for that, and so maintained his silence. After an uncomfortable amount of time, the warden finally broke the unhappy tranquility with a deep sigh.
Fine. Your hearing is scheduled for immediate, so prepare yourself for transport. Your lack of willing cooperation ensures that the ride will not be overly pleasant for you. Guards, take him to the High Court. Take him in the iron carriage.
The guard who had entered at his words nodded slightly and pulled Joe away by his arm. When they had left, the warden, still looking at the door, spoke softly.
The specter is defeated. The tide of shades contained. There are no more true threats to us in the dungeon?
Yes, warden. The dungeon is fully under your control.
Excellent.
The warden got back to his paperwork, never glancing over at his subordinate. If he had, he may have seen a gleam of green fire shining through the eyes of his most trusted spy. On his way to the exit of the dungeon, Joe sighed at the thuggish look of the guards that were joining them.
Should I go ahead and assume that you were just ordered to beat me as we went to the castle?
That would be a reasonable assumption, the royal guard said without looking directly at him. The iron carriage doesn't have windows or seats or anything in it that would even be called remotely comfortable. However, it does have chains that dangle from the ceiling that will, with any bump or turn, push you into the spikes that are there to stop you from escaping. It is typically reserved for the most uncooperative of prisoners.
Gotta tell you, I'm a big fan of walking. We could go for a light jog, maybe. Have you seen me skipping before? It's funny. The castle isn't that far away.
Joe tried to chuckle, but his voice was a bit too dry. Sounded more like a heavy wheeze. The guard responded noncommittally as they exited the dungeon and spotted a heavy carriage trundling toward them.
Here we are. Hop on in.
As soon as they exited the dungeon, Joe got a notification.
Rewards for clearing the dungeon have been assigned. Achievement unlocked. Sole survivor. Not only were you the only member of your party to survive the clearing of the dungeon, you survived the attempts of a mythical class specter to convert you to his own race and destroyed him. You do not leave this place unscathed. His changes have left a mark on you. You have been infused by the darkness of a sage, a process that not many can claim to have survived. In fact, it is only you currently. Experience gained. 1,000. Plus 3 to all stats, except karmic luck. Title gained. Dungeoneer. Being the only survivor of a dungeon is not something that happens by chance. This title will help you do it again in the future. Your tenacity has been rewarded. Rewards. Accurate information shown in dungeon clearing progress bars.
Joe followed the instructions he had been given, noticing that the interior of the carriage was exactly as the guard had described it, though he had missed a few of the details. Namely, the bloodstains and other various material that had never been cleaned up. With his heightened perception, he could easily smell that there wasn't an attached bathroom. When the two guards got in with him, he tensed up and began sending mana into a fresh coat of exquisite shell. The guards waved him down, dropping a couple of cushions on the floor.
Nah, outside of the dungeon, the warden has no authority. Typically, we might beat you out of respect for the others you've hurt, but not only did you come here willingly, you came back when you had a chance to escape. Not many people earn the respect of the Royal Guard. Take a seat. We'll be on our way momentarily.
The ride to the palace was a cheerful one, the guards bantering amongst themselves, though they did include Joe from time to time. He did his best to keep a smile on his face, but was leery of actually engaging in the jokes or taunts they were tossing around. He was only 100 reputation points above being put in the clinking chains dangling from the ceiling, after all. At the end of the ride, Joe was deposited directly in front of a bathhouse. He was scrubbed by servants who complimented his lack of bruises and bleeding, then was given a clean white robe to wear to his trial. No one tried to take his codpiece, thankfully, and for obvious reasons, though he did give it an extra thorough scrub with soap. Then it was time for his trial. Nerves filled Joe as he was led into a small waiting room. He stared at a large ornate door that reminded him far too much of the typical boss room of dungeons. When it opened, and he was let in, Joe was startled to see that a large crowd had been gathered into the... Oh, this was the throne room? Great! He walked forward, unimpeded by the chains normally seen on prisoners coming from the prison dungeon. This inspired murmurs and chatter that quieted as Joe stopped moving and the door behind the throne opened. For the first time, Joe was able to see that the queen did indeed move on her own and wasn't a statue like the rumors suggested. Also, she was entirely terrifying, which was likely why she moved so little. Each footstep touched the ground silently, but the simple movements of her body seemed to scream about their new position. Joe knew it was only in his head, but each move told him that a predator was approaching, and there was nothing he could do to stop her. Her grace was beyond that seen by master swordsmen, dancers, or contortionists. There was simply no comparison. When she sat down and went still, nearly everyone in the room started coughing, having held their breath a dangerously long time without noticing. Apparently, this was a common occurrence, because the queen waited patiently before speaking.
"The trial shall now commence. Traveler named Joe, you stand accused of holding restricted skills and a restricted class. How do you plead?"
Joe had to swallow a few times before he could speak.
"Guilty, Your Majesty, but there were..."
"Guilty plea understood. The sentence is death followed by the binding of your classes."
A gasp swirled around the crowd, and shocked looks were on nearly every face.
"I jest. As I understand it, there are extenuating circumstances, as well as the fact that the skills you earned are untrained, defensive only, and you have not been seeking out training in their usage. Is this all correct?"
Joe had almost fainted when she said she was joking. Not at all what he was expecting out of the queen.
That is correct, Your Majesty."
"I have heard the report of your guard, Captain Blas, your past actions, and have been given a report on your actions during your time in the prison dungeon. So long as you share your status with me willingly, and I am able to verify that you are not lying, this case will be dismissed. All details shared with me will remain confidential. If you ever gain offensive skills for this class or teach the skills to another, you will gain a maximum-ranked warlock title and need another trial to clear it. You will be admitted directly to the trial, bypassing prison, so long as your actions were not seen as treasonous. Do you accept these terms?
The queen waited patiently for an answer as Joe tried to process the rapid trial.
I do, Joe stated with great relief.
The queen nodded, and Joe shared his screens with her. She looked at it for a moment and muttered,
Absolute inspection.
Light shone from her gaze, and Joe knew for sure that she saw everything in his status. Name, Joe, Tatum's chosen legend. Class, mage. Actual, ritual architect. Profession, tenured scholar. Actual, arcanologist. Character level, 11. Experience, 70,762. Experience to next level, 7,238. Ritual Architect level 1, experience 0, experience to next level 1000. Hit points 220 out of 220. Mana 1792 out of 1792. Mana regen 18.45 per second. Stamina 195. Characteristic raw score modifier. Strength 22, modifier 1.22. Dexterity, 29, modifier, 1.29. Constitution, 27, modifier, 1.27. Intelligence, 67, modifier, 2.17. Wisdom, 61, modifier, 2.11. Charisma, 26, modifier, 1.26. Perception, 47, modifier, 1.47. Luck, 29, modifier, 1.29. Karmic luck, plus 3.
Interesting. You have been a busy man during your time here. Your titles intrigue me.
The queen tapped a finger on her throne, denting it and causing everyone to tense once more.
It is obvious that you are a good man and that you had not intended to gain power in order to harm our people. I judge this matter complete. Case dismissed. Go do other things. I hear there is a war on.
The queen stood and left the room. After another round of coughing, the people that had shown up as a friend to see the trial cheered for Joe. With a gulp, he noticed that his mother was included in that list. Chapter 43.
Hi there, Mom. Welcome to Ardania.
Joe smiled brightly as he walked up to the glowering woman.
What are you, a city guide?
She snorted, pulling him into a tearful hug.
What in the world is going on? Blaz told me why you got sent to prison, but...
I tried to tell her that you were going to be totally fine, but Brenda wouldn't listen to a word I said,
the captain ruefully informed him, shaking his hand in congratulations.
Don't worry, she only hears what she wants to. Joe ducked a playful swipe from his mother. She'd be a great scout and will probably be a sage of selective hearing within a month.
Oh, please.
Brenda stamped her foot.
All I ever heard from you was how wonderful this place was. As soon as you went away, I knew I had made a terrible mistake not following. I put in an order for the pod right away, and it still took a couple weeks with me paying triple the going rate. Then I get here, and you are being tossed into the darkest pit these people have access to. Of course I'm upset.
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. Joe hugged her, twirling her around as she smacked him on the back and yelled for him to put her down. Smoothing the creases in her clothes, she grumbled a bit and looked him over.
I'm so glad that you are okay and... Well, the last time we were interrupted and...
You and Blaz are dating? Joe rolled his eyes and crossed his arms. I didn't need a magical spell to see that. It's still captain to you, mister,
the captain growled deeply.
Maybe someday it'll be daddy,
Joe sighed longingly as Blaz sputtered.
I can picture it now. You training some new recruits, me running over and yelling, Daddy, I'm back from a mission. I'll cut you,
Blaz whispered and pointed at Joe as Brenda pulled the captain in for a kiss to distract him.
Now, all I'll need to do is find something to do.
Brenda pushed Blaz away gently and looked at Joe.
Just like you, I brought in quite a bit of money, but I'd be bored as all get out sitting around and wasting it. I'm not overly fond of the idea of going out and fighting all the time, though. The news said that a lot of people are trying to sue for how much pain the game makes them feel.
Joe and Blaz both nodded seriously, glad to hear that she wasn't planning on risking herself. Joe pondered over this conundrum for a moment. How could his mother thrive without putting her at risk, have fun, and, being realistic, gossip all day? Let me see. You are actually perfect for a position an acquaintance of mine was offering. Let's go to the merchant quarters. It isn't too far. Blaz looked Joe over, but when Joe told him they would be at the Odds and Ends store, he simply nodded and told Joe that he'd pick her up at 5 for dinner. Joe thanked the man, and they parted ways. Brenda kept giving Joe curious looks, but he simply ignored them. If she had something to say, she would do so. She always had. Eventually, she did, blurting out the question that must have been on her mind for a while.
You don't think it's weird? He isn't real, and we are dating?
Joe was thrown off a bit by the question. He had been expecting something entirely different, but... Mom, he is as real as we are. That's what you were worried about?
Nah,
not strange at all. This is my reality. They talked for a little bit, walking up to their destination right as a young lady was levitated out of the door, spun around, and dropped on her face.
Ha! As if I'd let you work here sweeping floors, let alone run this place!
The wizened old lady that owned the shop sniffed at the deposit she had made on the ground, looked around, and seeing Joe...
You! Weren't you telling me that you'd find me the perfect new employee?
Never had Joe told her anything like that. He wasn't about to say that out loud, though, not with the mood she was obviously in. Ah, but doesn't true art take time? Allow me to present to you the perfect co-worker, my mother, Brenda. Joe grandly bowed toward his mom, hamming up his performance and getting a smack over the head for his trouble. Seeing Joe get a good whack over the head, the shop owner chuckled and ushered Brenda forward.
Shall we go talk?
Certainly. I bought a new type of tea that I am excited to try. Do you have a kettle I could put on? Go have fun, Joe, but don't forget to check in with me every once in a while.
She gave him a quick peck on the cheek and walked into the store, gossip mode already in full swing. Joe was sure that she would do well here. The next thing he did was go to the bank and retrieve his gear from the safety deposit box, looking over a notification as he did so.
Quest updated. Apprentice to a sage. You have found a person willing to become a merchant and sent them to Odds and Ends for tutelage. Rewards will be granted dependent on the results of their chain quest.
Next up, a coffee shop. He started to walk away, kicking himself for not canceling the rental of the warehouse while he was at the shop. There was a new coffee shop in the location of the inn that his guild used to stay in before it was burned to the ground, and Joe went into it more for nostalgia's sake than anything. It turned out to be a good idea because for the first time since coming to this world, he found an espresso. Good Lord. He sipped it like a 30-year scotch and shivered. Enough pleasure. To work. Two of the books that he had raided from the dungeon appeared on the table. Reading through the first again, he found a few small details that he had forgotten about regarding turning spells into rituals. Joe nodded at his foresight, glad that he was able to take notes this time. Next, he pulled out the tome detailing the spell, Dark Compulsion, and read through it. Joe frowned. Though it was a powerful spell, it was twisted. Whenever someone lied while under the effects, dark thorns would dig into them, causing intense pain. Once the spell was activated, only the person using it could deactivate it safely. No wonder the investigator had been assassinated. Even if the family he was investigating had done nothing, Joe was sure that they wouldn't want their children placed under such a nasty spell.
If he had kids and someone came around with something like this, he might take a few regrettable actions himself. Originally, he had planned on turning this into a ritual and gifting it to the city guard. Now, nope. Their reputation would plummet if they used this torture device masquerading as a helpful spell. Joe decided to go to the library and turn in this book. Skill increased. Reading. Beginner. 6. Wait a minute. You can read? Wow. So impressive for someone in your situation.
Well, that message just didn't even make sense this time. Joe cracked his neck and stood. His coffee had vanished, and it was time for him to do the same. Going over to the library, he dropped off the book with a few notes about properly storing it, gaining another 100 points of job experience. Asking about the spell book that Boris had mentioned last time, Joe was directed to floor 3.5. Following the instructions given, he walked into a room that was about the size of an airport bathroom. The door must have had ignore me magic on it, because otherwise, Joe had no idea how people didn't accidentally find their way in here. Looking around at all the spell books, Joe was impressed by the power their titles proclaimed to bestow. Ultimate Mana Blade, Skyfall, Endless Army, to name a few. He was less impressed by their accuracy. Most of them shone a dull gray, with only a few having the telltale golden signs that proclaimed truth. Joe took 3 books that had the most promise, knowing that he didn't have a lot of time before the war began in full force. If these were spells that no one had been able to get working in decades or centuries, he quickly understood why as he read them. Whoever had written these books clearly only had a general idea of what was going on. Perhaps they were writing down the information, having it dictated to them from the bedside of a dying mage. The spell forms were sloppy. A few words were spelled incorrectly, which changed the meaning of entire sections, and component cost was not standardized. A pinch of powdered quartz? How much was that supposed to be? The books he had chosen were Mass Enchant, which promised to enchant any weapons within a given area, Shielded City, which at its most powerful could apparently create a dome of force over an entire city, but would most likely only be able to cover a single building, and Mana Battery. The last one was more something that he had picked up for himself to use in the future. Using the spell on a core would transform the potential experience inside of it into mana at a 1-10 rate. That meant that a low-grade core could be used for 5,000 mana, and then up to 50% more mana could be added to it. If Joe could create some weaponized rituals and set them up with mana batteries, he could make some seriously powerful siege weaponry. Or perhaps traps. Joe had been liking traps in recent days. First, he needed to unspaghetti the spells. In other words, he had to get all of the mistakes unraveled and make a clean spell diagram. Then he could transfer that to a spell scroll, and then transfer that to a ritual.
Blech.
No, it was fine. The first thing to work on, Mass Enchant. Joe nodded to himself and walked through town, getting to the town square and vanishing, reappearing in the temple area of the Grand Ritual Hall. Chapter 44. What the heck is going on? Joe looked around at the carpet of bodies groaning and moaning on the floor of the temple. Are you all wounded? Why is the temple the hospital? Why am I asking rhetorical questions? He got to work healing the people around him, not bothering to get too close, but instead just chucking balls of water at them. There were simply too many to be able to go person by person. This method of healing had an unexpected benefit. Since people were packed so close to each other, the healing water tended to splash. Skill gained. Group heal. Apprentice 6. As this skill was discovered by using the skill Mend, it retains all current bonuses. Effect. Select a target to heal, restoring 5N THP, where N equals skill level and T equals number of targets. Cost, 5N mana.
handy, but nothing overly special, unless... Well, he could channel the spell, couldn't he? He selected 10 people and used group heal, an orb of water flying out of his hand and turning into water streaming through the air and connecting the 10 people to himself. Channeling the spell for the maximum time he could left him totally drained of mana, truly an impressive feat. Panting, he looked at what he had accomplished. Not much, but it was at least decent. Connecting to 10 people meant that he healed 12 health a second for each of them, and at the end of 15 seconds, when he ran out of mana, he had been able to heal them for over 400 health. There were a few drawbacks to this, namely that broken bones were apparently not fixed when he used the healing spell this way. Another issue that was more concerning to him was that these guys were fighters, meaning that they had put a significant amount of time into boosting their health. If they had 50 points of constitution, that meant they had at least 450 health. It was likely that they had also boosted their health with items, skills, or other methods. The real question here, was this enough? Joe supposed that if he were healing a smaller group of people, it should be plenty. He spent about 10 minutes helping the people in the temple out, not maximizing their health, but stabilizing them to a point that they could function. He could select up to 20 targets and dump his mana into them before it became too much for him, bringing all of his targets up 200 health. Joe found this far less tiring than going to each patient individually and fixing every little thing. Much easier on the emotional draining aspect, especially. Eventually, though, and far sooner than the people he healed would have liked, Joe really needed to get to work on his other projects. Leaving the temple, he went directly to the ritual hall area, finding the solace intensely satisfying and refreshing. With the barest hint of a thought, the room began to shift, and he was soon seated in a comfortable chair with his notes and books in front of him. Joe started walking through the steps he needed to take. The first and most pressing was cleaning up the shoddy spell diagram of Mass Enchant. He went through it meticulously, copying over what he knew to be correct first, then adding new lines and scraping them off with a shadow-made razor blade if they were shown to be incorrect. This process took several hours, and Joe was certain that it was night outside by the time he felt that he was ready. By intentionally leaving a small sequence that he knew to be correct out of the diagram, Joe was able to finish everything else without the whole thing spontaneously combusting. Doing it this way, he was able to check his work and make adjustments until every other part of the sequence was also correct. Pulling out a scroll, ink, and quill that he had prepared at the college, Joe started drawing out the transcribed spell that he had redesigned. This was a bit simpler with the template that he had made, but he needed to be sure to go very carefully. Even so, Joe's fingers were burned and healed over and over as the paper he had been working on went up in flames from his failures. Getting to three-quarters finished, Joe yelped as he got overconfident and the paper erupted in purple flames again. Thanks to the mana invested into it, the more ink on the page, the more dangerous the flames would become if his transcription failed. Thinking it over, Joe reluctantly decided that his exquisite shell was keeping him from writing the scroll properly. After weighing his options, he dispelled his armor and tried once again. He got to the end of his notes and added the final small chunk that had been missing, wincing as the ink seemed to vibrate three times on the page after completion. "Don't explode. Don't explode. You have created a spell scroll. As your skill, Words of Power, written, is at the novice rank, the most powerful scroll you can make is the novice version of any spell. Spell scroll created. Mass Enchant, novice. This scroll teaches the spell Mass Enchant at the novice level, which allows the caster to enchant a compatible known spell onto multiple items. Cost, variable. Experience, 50. Skill increase, Words of Power, written, novice 7. Wow, you made a scroll on your first try. Oh wait, the first one burned. You know what they say. Second, third,
Eighth time's the charm.
It worked! Joe jumped around and whooped when the paper retained its integrity. He looked back over the notifications and got serious. I get experience for this, too? I think it's time to invest some of my skill points into my skills.
Since his class had disallowed the input of skill points into ritual magic when he specialized, and ritual lore could only be learned by study, this was a pretty solid spot to add some points. He had... Whoops. It looked like he had forgotten about his skill points for a good chunk of time. There were 23 points waiting for him, almost half of all the points he had gained. If he was going to participate heavily during this war, Joe decided that he needed to commit to it fully. Taking a deep breath, he dropped 6 points into spellbinding and 12 points into words of power, leaving him with only 5 for a rainy day.
Skill increase. Words of power. Written. Apprentice. 0. Congratulations. You have met the requirements to be considered an apprentice in truly powerful written word. You can now create magical documents up to the apprentice ranks. Based on your use of the skill so far, a new effect has been added. Autocorrect. By investing 300 points of mana at the start of writing a scroll, 3 errors will be automatically corrected if you make them. When you make them, be honest with yourself. Skill increase, spellbinding, apprentice 1. As an apprentice of spellbinding, you get nothing extra. You thought that just because you normally do, you'd get an extra effect all the time? This skill is already potent. Go use it instead of whining.
I hadn't planned on whining,
Joe growled in a slightly whiny tone, getting right back to work. It took all freaking night for him to make a single apprentice-ranked scroll of mass enchant. As soon as he had the scroll in his hands, he brought it down and stored it in his... codpiece. That was going to take some getting used to. Joe stood there staring, or blinking at the floor for a few long moments. Minutes. Hard to tell. His eyes were bloodshot, with bags visible under them. The only consolation he had for his exhaustion was that he had the scroll and both the skills had increased 3 times. All he needed now for the ritual was a scroll of the spell he wanted to use to mass enchant things. Dang it. Joe had a day or two left, right? He could rest his eyes for a moment. Joe blinked and woke up, looking around at the reconfigured room. Had he made the floor into a bed while he slept? Dangerous effect, that. What if he had a nightmare about the walls closing in and... Joe shuddered with primal terror. No more sleeping in the easily shifting room. All he needed to do today was create a spell scroll. Simple to say, harder to do. Joe spent the next few hours turning his knowledge of the spell Shadow Spike into a formula. Yes, he had used the spell to create his shaping skill, but a simple spike was a part of shadow manipulation that was easily translated. Another few hours went into turning that into a spell scroll, but it was far easier with his increased skill and some practice. He had even been able to recognize some signs of the contained mana losing its stability and dodged the resulting flames. For lunch, he ate some dried meat that had been stored in his codpiece. He grimaced and shuddered. That hadn't been a fun thought. Joe decided right there that he would never tell anyone what part of his outfit was the spatial storage, just in case he ever needed to give them some food. Checking his notifications, he saw that he had gained 100 experience for each apprentice scroll he had made. Not bad. Just under 7,000 experience to the next level. Now he needed to create the ritual himself. He had everything he needed except for the required mana. Joe was going to need a hand with the actual activation of the ritual, because this was a journeyman-ranked ritual, even though it was only going to be adding apprentice-ranked effects. Turning toward the door, Joe paused. Might as well get the ritual created, right? Staring at the ritual diagram, he willed the floor to rise up and shape itself in the same way the diagram required.
This took about half an hour to get correct, but it was still far faster than drawing it out by hand. After inspecting it and fixing any errors he could find, Joe pulled out his chalk and moved forward. Once again, Joe stopped himself. He had a better method now, didn't he? He directed the room to add a sheath around all the lines, magical symbols, and diagrams. Once they were all fully enclosed and the same thickness, Joe grinned maniacally as he started the next step, he solidified the darkness that was enclosed within the tubes. He returned the room to a simple empty circle and manipulated the shadows, convincing the silhouette of a ritual to float before it fell to the ground. Then he set it down gently and walked out of the room to find 10,000 mana worth of people to help him out. He really needed to get a dedicated cabal together. Scavenging for help every time he wanted to do something was annoying. There were strange echoes in the ritual hall, but they were coming from the entrance, so he didn't need to change course to investigate. People were moving in and out of the building at a run, and it seemed that anyone coming indoors was wounded. Oh, right. There was a war on. Joe checked the countdown timer. There was another day before the main forces of the Wolfmen arrived. Were the advance forces really pushing their defenses this hard? That didn't exactly bode well for the main battle. Booming noises rang out as large-scale spells were launched over the walls like artillery. As much as he wanted to go and take a look at what they were up against, finishing the ritual should be the priority. He wasn't going to be much help in battle, even if he could skewer a few wolfmen if they got too close. War was not his specialty, though he kicked himself as he remembered that it literally could have been. Joe made a beeline for the magical artillery, meaning that he had to twist, turn, change direction, and go the wrong way a few times in order to reach them. As it turns out, bees don't fly in straight lines.
"Trouser Snake! You stuck around!" Joe called as he got close. "I need a favor, buddy."
"Why is it that you always show up at strange times after vanishing for days on end? Where have you been? Also, I can't spare any help right now. My entire guild is working in shifts, and we are still almost getting overrun out there."
Snake spoke with severe distraction and fatigue in his voice, so Joe didn't take the refuse personally.
"Look, I found a way to help out melee fighters. It'll take about 10 minutes to get this going, and I think I can convince Terra to join in."
Joe's words must have hit the mark, because Tim, Snake, seemed to perk up like Joe did after drowning a triple espresso. Joe tried to remember to call the man by his in-game name. It was possible that some people might come after him in real life if they knew too much about him.
"Find her. Bring her back here. If I see that she is actually with you, I'll join you with a couple of my top guys."
Snake waved Joe away.
"Right now, though, I need to get back to making giant balls of liquid fire fly at 7-foot-tall werewolves. Ah, things I never thought I'd get to say as an adult."
5 people stepped forward when he did, and their mana joined together to create a ball of what appeared to be plasma. After 5 seconds of each of them pumping mana into the group spell, Tim stepped forward and made a tossing motion. The ball of fiery death flew away to find a new home, and soon after, a boom echoed back to them. Chapter 45. Joe started asking around for Terra, but apparently no one in the general population had seen her recently. When he eventually did learn her whereabouts, he was confused as to why she was there. He went over to the smithy and found her working on creating an enchanted blade, which not only was his goal, but also satisfied his curiosity. Interrupting her, much to her displeasure, Joe was only able to convince her to join him by sharing half the screenshots of the magical elevator that had led to the 3rd floor of the prison dungeon. He promised her that she'd get the other half, but only after helping him out. From there, it was back to Snake, followed by a 5-minute hike to collect the ritual diagram and bring it to the rest area. By the time it was in place, the people he had collected were shifting uncomfortably, knowing that they were missing out on experience and the battle. If he didn't do something soon, they were definitely going to wander off to go do other things.
"All right, let's get set up.
Joe started directing people into place, positioning the first four in a square pattern and getting himself, Snake, and Terra into a triangle pattern closer to the center. Seven of us. Perfect. Prime numbers help keep the magic from going wild. He placed the components for this ritual into position, and Terra began to get excited.
Is that a spell scroll? Holy happy cows, where did you find those? And two of them?
She was staring at the scrolls intently, and her already large eyes went comically wide.
Apprentice-ranked scrolls? You are telling me that I could take that and have a spell that I could use at the apprentice ranks right away?
Yeah, but this is better in the long run. Trust me. Joe declined to answer her first question. He hadn't known that scrolls were that rare. At least not so much that the other participants were whispering quietly amongst themselves of taking the scroll when he wasn't looking. Here we go, people. A drop of blood each, please. The small silver chalice he had purchased to replace the massive tarnished one he used to use was quickly passed around and added to its spot. Joe pushed his arms out to each side with his palms facing outward and lifted the ritual focus into the starting position it required. With a burst of mana directed into the diagram, it stayed in place in midair and even began to spin. The ritual had begun. Slowly and carefully, Joe began the associated chant. Mana began to flood into the ritual and out of their bodies, making the weakest among them groan softly. Pitch-black circles spun at dangerous speeds above their heads, and the components were absorbed into the whirling gyroscope of shadow. Seeing the scrolls disintegrate and vanish, Terra seemed to get a bit choked up. They passed the threshold of required mana, and the ritual became operational, but Joe kept that to himself and had the others continue to pour mana into it as long as possible. One by one, the others took a knee and gasped for air, leaving Joe to hold the burden alone as long as he could. Finally unable to bear it, Joe dropped his arms and the ritual slammed onto the ground around them, solid rings of shimmering darkness that seemed to have a heat haze coming off of them.
Ritual created. Mass enchant. Shadow spike. Weapons left in this ritual will gain the on-hit effect, shadow spike. By hitting a target, a shadow spike will come out of the target's shadow and attempt to deal additional damage. Damage dealt will be increased by 4 points per minute that it remains in the ritual, up to 260 potential damage. Each additional 10 minutes in the ritual will increase the number of spikes generated, one per hit. After 30 minutes out of the ritual, damage possible will begin decreasing by 2 per minute until the enchantment fails entirely. When activated, this ritual will last for 8 hours. Additional mana can be invested. 1 hour of activation per 2,000 mana. Activate now? Yes. No.
Joe chose no, and looked around with a wide smile. He explained the effects and that it was likely that they would all get contribution experience whenever the weapons were used. That turned a few frowns upside down. Joe thanked them all, sent the promised screenshots to Terra, and turned away to look for someone to help out with the weapons that would surely be piled in this spot pretty soon. He was stopped by Terra, who had a strange look on her face.
Joe, you made those scrolls, didn't you? These rituals, too. You know I specialized in being an enchanter, right? Yet I can only make one enchantment at a time. Sure, it is a permanent effect, but this is cool, too. Can you teach me how to do this stuff or make me a scroll of mass enchant?
Her face was troubled, an expression he had never seen on her happy-go-lucky visage before now. Looking at her, Joe thought quickly. He did want to make more ritualists, but maybe now, when tension was high, wasn't the time. With her work ethic and mana pool, she'd definitely be a good choice. I can do both of those things, but after the war, okay? If you just want the scroll, realize that I worked on it for hours, and getting the skills needed to make it normally costs over 1,000 gold. At the apprentice rank like that, I'd likely sell a single scroll for a couple hundred gold on the market, but I bet we could work something out.
In a non-creepy way, yeah? I want the scroll, but not that bad.
Terra glanced over Joe, her words a direct assault on his self-confidence. Yeah, thanks for that. He rolled his eyes. We'll catch up later. Joe asked around and finally found the command tent, patiently waiting for the meeting to end before finding A-10. After explaining the use of the ritual, A-10 rubbed his chin and looked away deep in thought. When he looked back, there was glee on his face.
"Does it have to be swords or weapons like that?"
"Any weapon should work. I don't think adding it to armor would be a good idea." Joe smirked and shook his head.
"Enemy hits your shield, you get spiked. Bad plan." "I was thinking arrows, actually."
A-10's smile stretched as he saw Joe's jaw go slack.
"Oh yeah, Joe. I think tactical. I'll talk to a guy. Expect enormous bundles of arrows to arrive over there soon."
After returning to the ritual circles and waiting for a bit, a group trundled over and set up a large tent around the darkness-stained ground. Then people that had obviously invested heavily in strength began carrying stacks of crates into the tent until it was full. Another man walked over to Joe and bumped him with his foot to wake him up. Joe had fallen asleep in the sunshine, and the explosions were actually oddly soothing without screaming accompanying them.
"You the guy that's going to turn all these normal arrows into magical arrows?"
"Yeah, that's me." Joe covered his mouth and yawned, finishing with, "My name is Joe." He held out his hand and got a brusque handshake in return.
"Great. I'm the quartermaster for the guild. I'm in charge of all of this stuff, so my question is this. Do you want me to assign someone to take care of these, or are you going to sign for everything?"
The quartermaster had a far too hopeful expression.
"No chance of me taking those."
Joe shook his head and denied him instantly. An important lesson he had learned in the army was never sign for anything if you didn't have to. That was a good way to get in debt really fast when things started to vanish.
"I'm here to press the button, then you can hand them out as needed. It'll take an hour and 5 minutes for them to get to max damage, and damage will start to fall after half an hour outside the circles. Swords and stuff should stay in there for a long time. Every 10 minutes after reaching max damage lets the effect happen another time."
The quartermaster nodded at these instructions and asked Joe to get the magic started. Touching the ritual, Joe activated it and smiled as wispy darkness began to travel from the ritual into each arrow. He couldn't wait to see how useful these were in the upcoming battle. Stepping out of the tent, he was shocked to see more crates piled up and more on the way. How many arrows did they expect to use in the war? Right. This was an entire nation of people they were fighting at this point. It was a hard concept to wrap his mind around. They would likely run out of arrows by the time the fighting was over. Freaky. It took a bit of time, but Joe was able to find and wrangle his team back together. Each of them had used the time to train themselves or improve themselves in some way, and the results were obvious. Poppy now sported a rapier that had incorporated the stinger from the giant wasp, letting him deal critical hits and inject poison easily. Luckily for him, running out of the dangerous liquid wasn't going to be an issue, thanks to Alexis. She had been found in a well-ventilated room stirring a cauldron and cackling like a witch from old Shakespearean plays. There were barrels of poison surrounding her, and she had obviously slept very little in the last few days. Apparently, the guild had given her anything she asked for so long as they got to use up to 90% of it for the war. She gave them 95% and rubbed her hands greedily at the thought of the experience points she was going to earn from the next few days. Bard had been in a tavern chanting to his heart's content and had apparently found a few Mass Effect chants that he was excited about, and Jackson had been tossed into a prisoner of war area and had been going wild learning the weaknesses of all the wolfmen he could get his hands on. This had also apparently been good training for the healer that had been assigned to follow him, going by the man's exhausted face. He had cried tears of joy when Joe stopped by to pick up Jackson, and a fearful cheer had erupted from the wolfmen that had been captured as well. The fighting had died down over the last hour, but it seemed like the silence was starting to get on people's nerves. After a couple days of constant bombardments and explosions, people were expecting violence and noise. The quiet was ringing in their ears, and everyone was nervously watching the countdown timer that was ticking downward too swiftly for comfort. A-10 recognized the issues that were going to appear if he did nothing, so he stood up on the wall and cleared his throat, preparing for a speech. "Listen up, everyone! Tomorrow is the big day. Over the next few hours, reinforcements should be arriving, and we are going to have to waste time with guild politics. Just try to be polite, and don't brag too much about how amazing we are." This got a few chuckles,